back in your life on this Saturday, June 8th, 2019. Hello, Chicago. I'm Ariel Helwani. Welcome to another edition of the Helwani Show right here on ESPN Radio. I'm coming at you from the United Center in the Winnie City. I'm actually like just like a few steps away from the famous Michael Jordan statue outside of the United Center, home, of course, to the Chicago Bulls and Chicago Blackhawks. I think the statue is of Jordan about to dunk the ball, and, well, Patrick Ewing swoops in and blocks him. They don't show that part of the statue here, but it's a nice statue nonetheless. Of course, I am here for UFC 238, and this is very exciting because each and every pay-per-view of this new era has allowed us to do one of these pre-shows on ESPN Radio. So I thank everyone involved for giving us this opportunity, and it's going to be great because we want to hear from you. Usually when I do the Helwani Show on Mondays and Wednesdays and other days, I am doing a show that's very guest heavy. Well, on this particular show, it's very caller heavy. And so I want to hear from all of you. 1-888-SAY-ESPN. It's fight night in Chicago. 1-888-729-3776. We've got a lot to discuss. UFC 238 going down in a matter of hours here in Chicago. I want to remind you that the Helwani Show is presented by Ageless Male Tonight. And all callers on this particular program appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can get in touch with us through the 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed. And again, you can reach us over at 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's 1-888-729-3776. And so, like I said, it's UFC 238. It's going down at 6:15 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+. First fight of the night is Joanne Calderwood against Caitlin Chookagian, a very important fight in the 125-pound division. I still can't believe that Joanne Calderwood is jerking the curtain here at the United Center, a potential number one contender fight. If she wins, if Calderwood wins of Scotland, she probably will be next in line for the title, and she's jerking the curtain. I guess that's just an indication that this card is pretty darn deep, because it is. The main event is Henry Cejudo versus Marlon Moraes. That is on pay-per-view. The card commences at 10 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening to us in the United States, of course, you can get the pay-per-view exclusively via ESPN+. You can get it via the app as well. Henry Cejudo moving up from 125 pounds to go after the 135-pound title. He's going up against Marlon Moraes, the former World Series of Fighting bantamweight champion. Henry Cejudo is coming off that thrilling victory over TJ Dillashaw back in January, the very first UFC on ESPN show. That was the fight that he won in 32 seconds, and of course that was the fight that led to this title being vacated. That fight was for the flyweight title, but just a month or so later we found out that TJ Dillashaw tested positive right before that fight for EPO. He has since been suspended by the United States Anti-Doping Agency for 2 years, and he had his belt taken away. So Cejudo is moving up to 135, fighting for the vacant title, and this is great for him because he has the opportunity to become a 2-weight world champion. I also think that he is starting to, I don't know, maybe convince the UFC to keep the flyweight division for as long as he's around, because Henry Cejudo has done a phenomenal job, I think, of getting people to care about him. He shows up with the crown, he shows up with the cape, he shows up with the props, and some people hate it and some people call it cringy, but we're talking about him and he's drawing interest and people are showing up and wanting to interview him, and all the cameras were surrounding him at media day. That's good for everyone involved. And so I hope that if he wins, the UFC will rethink their stance on the flyweight division. I know there are very few flyweights left. There's only like 10 to 13 left at this point. But you've got a star on your hands here. A former Olympic gold medalist, the youngest American Olympic gold medalist in wrestling history. A guy who really, you know, when he came to the UFC was a little bit shy, wasn't really sure how to present himself. Now he is coming into his own. He is very comfortable in his own skin. He's a showman, and he's a darn good fighter as well. So that is the main event. Co-main event, of course, is Valentina Shevchenko defending her women's flyweight title against Jessica Evil Eye, finally getting a shot at UFC gold, a veteran of the sport who not that long ago was essentially cut from the promotion. 135 was not kind to her. She was just a little bit undersized, and the UFC did not have the 125-pound division, and Dana White actually told her, like, we're good. you're done. And she said, just give me one more chance. And it just so happened to coincide with the opening of that 125-pound weight class. And all of a sudden, she has looked very good. She's undefeated. She's 3-0 since moving down to 125. And so she's getting this opportunity after moving to Las Vegas, training at Extreme Couture, training with the likes of Gray Maynard, former multiple-time UFC lightweight title contender, also spending some time at the UFC Performance Institute. And here she is fighting one of the toughest female fighters in the sport today, Valentina Shevchenko, the women's flyweight champion, coming off that win over Joanna Jędrzejczyk back in December, has looked very good since moving down to 125. She, I think, maybe even beat Amanda Nunes at 135. She could have been a champion at bantamweight, but this is definitely a great weight class for her and a very natural weight class for her as well. So that's the co-main event. And then, of course, we got Tony Ferguson versus Donald Cerrone, the people's main event. And yes, it is the people's main event. And yes, I dubbed that phrase. I came up with it, and everyone's stolen it in the build-up to this fight, but I'm happy to share it with all of you because it is apropos, it's a great name, and it's the perfect way to describe this fight because this isn't the main event, but it's the one that everyone's talking about. It's the return of Tony Ferguson, El Kukui, one of the most popular fighters in the sport today. I was told that on the EA Sports video game, he's like one of the top five players. People love playing with El Kukui. That's amazing. And he's going up against Donald Cerrone, who, again, is one of the most popular fighters and is just coming off that amazing win over Ally Quinta. Both guys took this fight on short notice. Ferguson hasn't fought since October, UFC 229. Cerrone hasn't fought since like 2 weeks ago against Ally Quinta. And now here they are. An opportunity to beef up this card was presented to the UFC, was presented to the fighters. They both took the opportunity. And it has certainly, I think, raised the stakes going into tonight as far as the card is concerned, as far as the interest in the card is concerned. So we have a lot to get to. That's just a quick teaser of what is to come tonight at UFC 238. Again, it kicks off at 6:15 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to be with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN Radio, and I want to hear from you. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. I want to remind you that after 100 years of making shaving cream, Barbasol is finally making razors. Well, that was a no-brainer. Try Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus today. Save now at Barbasol.com. Let's squeeze in a call or two before we take it to this break here, because I like to hear from you. I don't want to hear from myself talking. I want to hear from all of you. Let's go to Dylan in London, Ontario, home to the future 2019 NBA champion, Canadian Raptors. Dylan, how are you?
Go Raptors. Go Raptors, am I right?
That's right, my man. We're going to do it on Monday. And yes, I said we, because this one's for all of Canada, right? For Americans don't understand what this means. This is the whole country coming together. It's an amazing thing.
They don't. Did you see people are already lining up for Jurassic Park already?
I did. I saw that on Twitter moments ago. That's incredible. I love it.
Yeah, it's like 48 hours. But anyways, with Dana and UFC seemingly chomping at the bit to do the Conor and Khabib rematch, do you think if Cowboy wins, he'll be able to sit and wait for a title shot if they do Conor and Khabib after Poirier? Or is he going to have to keep fighting people because he can't sit still?
So that's a good question, because we all know that Cowboy can't sit still. And every time he tells us he wants to fight for the belt and wants to wait and be strategic, they present him with an opportunity like this, and he takes it. But I spoke to his wrestling coach yesterday, Jafari Vanier, and he said, when we win this fight, that's it. We're done. We're waiting. And we think that an opportunity will present itself in September. Of course, September, it's Khabib Nurmagomedov against Dustin Poirier for the lightweight title that was announced just a few days ago. We think an opportunity will present itself. We're going to wait. I said, what about Conor? Nah, we don't think Conor wants to fight. We're waiting for that belt. And we think that title fight is coming up in 3 months. So we're going to be strategic here. Now, that's what they say. Let's see if they actually do it. But that's what they're saying right now. And, of course, he has to win the fight tonight. All right, great first call. Thank you very much to Dylan. Home to our Raptors, champions on Monday. Let's take a quick break. After the break, more of your calls. All day, your calls. That's what we're doing. I want to hear from you. Again, 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's 1-888-729-3776. You're listening to The Helwani Show right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Welcome back to the Helwani Show right here on ESPN Radio. It is presented by Ageless Male tonight. We are live from the United Center, home to your Chicago Bulls and Chicago Blackhawks. What do they call this place? The Madhouse on Madison or something like that? Who knows? They're no good. The Bulls are bad. They will never be good again. That's right, I said it. There are a bunch of fans here and they're coming at me. Hi guys, how are you? Everything good? Well, I'm actually on the air right now, so I can't really do that. But let me tell you that all our callers on today's Helwani show from right here in Chicago, we're hours away from UFC 238, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Get in touch with us through our 1-800-Flowers Twitter feed, or most importantly, reach us at 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. UFC 238 kicking off at 6:15 p.m. Eastern. On ESPN Plus, amazing card, top to bottom, so many big names. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's see what's on your mind. Arthur in California, my man, how are you?
Ariel, I am doing great. It is so awesome to be talking to a legend like yourself.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, so I just wanted to say it is so surreal to hear you on the radio. You know, a lot of longtime fans have been listening to you for so long, and, you know, we're just so proud of the work you're doing on ESPN. You're representing the sport in such a great fashion from everything you do. So I just want to say congratulations. Keep up the good work. You're making us all proud, man.
Oh, Arthur, I really appreciate that. That warms my heart. Thank you so much.
Okay, and can I ask one question, too?
Go ahead, my man. The floor is yours.
Okay, it might be a long-winded one, but what do you think it'll take the UFC to really create unified rules? You know, I realize with different states and different commissions, you know, that they have different rules everywhere, but do you ever think that the UFC can really create unified rules? And I'll take your answer up there.
Arthur, again, thank you so much. You know, it's not really up to the UFC, believe it or not. It's up to the commissions. The commissions need to get on the same page. And I agree with you. They call it the unified rules. There are no unified rules in this sport. It's the ununified rules, if that even makes sense. Every state, I mean, these poor fighters are going into a cage and they have to think, oh, am I in Massachusetts right now, or am I in Nevada, and is it three hands down, or 3 points down, two hands and a foot? Is it, can I poke the, like, what is going on here? They have enough on their minds. They have enough to think about. They have enough to worry about as they're fighting another human being in the cage. But the problem is these commissioners, a lot of them have egos, and this guy wants to say, I deserve this credit, and this guy wants to say, I'm not going to follow that guy, and they can't get on the same page, and it's a big problem. Now, can the UFC try to help them get on the same page? Yes, but at the end of the day, the UFC can't actually make the rules. It's not up to them. They don't assign the referees. They don't assign the judges. They don't make the rules. It's up to the commissions in each and every state. And let me tell you something. You know what never goes out of style? Surprising a friend or a loved one with a dazzling bouquet or arrangement from 1-800-Flowers.com. Starting at just $29.99 to order today, go to 1-800-Flowers.com/ESPN. I'll tell you what, I'll give a bouquet of flowers to every commission in this darn country if they could just get on the same page. Enough with all this. Nick in Fort Myers, how are you? Nick, are you there? Fort Myers, Nick.
Yo, Ariel, can you hear me?
What's happening, my man?
Not a whole lot. Just watching some 238 countdown right now. Getting a little excited for this card tonight. It's loaded top to bottom.
It sure is. I love it. And it's great to be here. Last night we had a live show at the Lincoln Hall here in Chicago. We had 200 fans in attendance, sold out in 2 days. The first ever Helwani Roadshow was incredible. We had a trivia contest, Stipe Miocic. We had Ben Askren. We had Paul Felder. We had Eddie Alvarez. We had Wonderboy Thompson. Should I spoil who won? Because you can actually listen to the podcast. I won't spoil who won, but it was incredible. The first of many trivia show here in Chicago. I was proud to do it on my 1 year anniversary of my move to ESPN, 10 year anniversary of the show launching 10 years ago, 3 year anniversary of the fans fighting for me and getting my job back after I was banned. An incredible time. Anything you want to say about the card, or you just wanted to check in?
Just wanted to check in, and I have a quick thought about a future card coming up June 29th.
Okay.
And you got Ngannou versus JDS. I just want to get your thoughts to say, is that a guaranteed lock? I know how Dana likes to mess around a little bit with his guys who are getting title shots. Does the winner of that definitely get the shot of the winner of Stipe versus DC, or does John Jones eventually come into the mix?
I don't think John Jones is coming into the mix at heavyweight anytime soon. I think the cut for 205 is too easy for him. I think if Luke Rockhold wins on July 6th, he'll probably be next for John Jones. Of course, if John Jones wins on that card against Thiago Santos. And so, yes, I do believe that the number one contender will emerge from that fight June 29th in Minneapolis, and Ngannou, JDS. Rich in New Jersey, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Ariel?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'm super pumped about tonight's fight card, man. I think, I mean, I'm a fan of Henry and also the Bullet. I mean, she's tough. But just the addition of Tony and Cowboy just adds an extra spice, man. I'm a big fan of El Cucuy, probably the best nickname in the UFC. And I'm super pumped for tonight, man. Quick question. Well, how is your relationship between you and Dana? You guys are good. I know there was a little bit of maybe animosity a while back. How you guys doing with that?
We are good, my man. No animosity on this side of the table. Great to be here. Happy to be here. Honored to be working for ESPN. It's all good in my book. I appreciate the call, Rich. Thank you very much. Al in Los Angeles. Al, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? Great job on the show. Just a couple predictions for tonight's top three fights. I think Cejudo loses. I don't think he beat Mighty Mouse. I think, you know, if he were to fight TJ again, TJ would beat him. So I think he loses tonight. I think the Bullet, Shevchenko wins. And I believe Tony's a better fighter, but I don't know where his head's at because he's got a lot of personal things going on. Cowboy's kind of on a roll right now. But I think skill-wise, you know, Tony's, you know, overall better fighter. So if his head's in the right spot, I think El Cucuy, but if he's got these personal things going on in his mind, because I believe, you know, a big part of the fight game is, you know, your mind's got to be right. Maybe Cowboy can beat him. But yeah, that's all I wanted to share, and I just wanted to congratulate you and thank you, man.
Well, thank you very much, Alan. Great take. Great predictions. Hard to argue with any of them. In particular, your one about Tony Ferguson. I think that's the biggest question mark. It's the most anticipated fight on the card, but it's also the one that I think has the most question marks surrounding it because we don't know really what kind of state Tony Ferguson is mentally and physically. I had the opportunity to sit down with him a couple of days ago, and I have to say he was very subdued. He was very calm. He was very collected. He seemed very happy. He's changed management teams, of course. That was a big deal. I remember talking to him before UFC 229 when he fought Anthony Pettis, and he seemed erratic. He seemed all over the place. He seemed a little bit confused. He seemed just too energized. And, of course, he won that fight, but I think it's better that he's a little more calm this time. It seems like he's at peace with everything. And so I want to know how he performs. Did he take this fight too soon? Should he have taken a little more time to prepare, longer training camp? A lot of question marks surrounding Tony Ferguson. I can't wait to see how it all plays out. Let's get one more caller in before we take this next break. Let's go to Taylor in Denver. Taylor in Denver, what's up?
Hey, man, what's up? How are you doing, Ariel?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the call.
Hey, man. Yeah, I just got a quick question for you, boss. Yeah, we're from Denver, and we're big-time Donald Cerrone fans. We have faith in him tonight, but we're just wondering, do you think he should have took this fight in short notice? Because here in Denver, we think he already even deserves a title shot after that Al fight.
I think he needed one more to warrant a title shot. I don't hate the fact that he took a fight on short notice like this one because he's in shape. He didn't get too beat up against Ally Quinta. And this is the way he likes to roll. If, in fact, this fight happens tonight, which we expect it to, he will have tied Jim Miller for the most fights in UFC history, 31. He's already the winningest fighter in UFC history. He likes to be active. It's better when he's active, and so I have no problem with it. All right, many more calls to come. If you're standing by, don't go anywhere. Helwani Show on ESPN Radio. We're back after this. Ah, yes, a little Chicago music here on the Helwani Show. Coming at you live from the Windy City here in Chicago, Illinois. Site of UFC 238. It goes down in just about an hour and 45 minutes from now, if my math is correct, 6:15 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN+. What a card from top to bottom. I'll run it down for you. It kicks off with Caitlin Chookagian versus Joanne Calderwood. And that is a great fight at 125 pounds. Eddie Wineland against Grigory Popov, Bevon Lewis against Darren Stewart, and Shona Yan against Angela Hill. That's the ESPN Plus prelims. Then we move over to ESPN for the rest of the prelims. Ricardo Lamas against Calvin Kattar, Karolina Kovalevich against Alexa Grasso, Pedro Munhoz against Aljamain Sterling, important fight at 135, and a very important fight at 115, Tatiana Suarez against Nina Ansaroff, number one contender in that weight class, could emerge out of that fight. Then we move along to the pay-per-view commencing at 10 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+. Tai Tuivasa against Blagoj Ivanov, Jimmy Rivera against Piotr Jan, Tony Ferguson against Donald Cerrone, Valentina Shevchenko against Jessica Ai for the women's flyweight title, and of course, the main event, Henry Cejudo versus Marlon Moraes for the vacant 135-pound title. This is the Helwani Show on ESPN Radio, live from Chicago. It is presented by Ageless Male tonight. Callers on this program appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can get in touch with us through our 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed. And now, my friends, as I've been telling you all show long, we want to hear from you. So we want to go back to the phone lines, 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. And it is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Peter has been holding on for quite some time from Phoenix. Peter, give me the Straight Talk, my man. What's up?
Ariel, my man, it's a pleasure to talk to you today. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you. What's on your mind?
Well, man, I'm just getting ready to throw some baked ziti in the oven and catch this UFC 238.
Oh,
I know that Tai Tuivasa dedicated his walkout song to you.
Yes.
So as soon as he catches that W,
yes,
are we going to see an Ariel Helwani shoey?
I'll tell you what. No, I can't. I was just about to say yes, and then I was reminded how disgusting the shoey is. For those that don't know, a shoey is when you pour the alcohol in the shoe, you spit in the shoe, and then you drink it, and it's usually not your own shoe. And like, if it's your own shoe, it's passable. It has to be someone else's shoe. It's the most disgusting thing that I've ever come across in my life. And so, no, I will not partake, but I do like the fact that you're having some baked ziti. That's exciting. I thought you were going to say, like, some ribs or some hot dogs. That's straight up my alley right there. Like, my mom would make me a little tortellini. You like tortellini? Are you a fan of tortellini?
Yeah, I definitely love a tortellini, but I'm famous for the baked ziti, Ariel.
Oh,
you
man.
Can come over and watch the fights for some ziti anytime.
You're making my mouth water, Peter. Thank you very much for the call. That definitely is the Straight Talk, presented by my man Peter and Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Hook me up with some baked ziti. There's a bunch of fans here. Anyone have some baked ziti for me? Baked ziti. Put it right here. Back to the phone lines we go. Coulter in Omaha. Coulter, how are you?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm great. What's on your mind?
I had a question about the future of the heavyweight division after the Stipe-DC fight. I know DC is getting towards the end of his career. If he wins, do you think he retires? Any chance he fights Ngannou? I know everyone kind of wants to see him and John Jones at heavyweight, but I know they've both kind of downplayed that. And then if Stipe wins, they have to do him and Ngannou too, right after, you'd think, right? I'll hang up and listen. Appreciate it. Shout out to Will and Cato, Baby Rand, listening in Minnesota. And then last thing, I guess, if Al Kukui wins tonight and isn't next in line for Khabib after him, Poirier, I'm boycotting the UFC. So appreciate it. Keep it up, man.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Coulter. If DC wins on August 17th, I feel like there's only one fight left for him, and it's John Jones, and I feel like it has to happen at light heavyweight for him to be interested in the fight. He wants to beat him at light heavyweight because he's lost to him twice at light heavyweight, and that's just the kind of guy that he is. I don't think he will entertain the idea of fighting JDS or Ngannou. Crazier things have happened. Maybe he wins in 10 seconds and says, I got one more left in me, but I feel like we are coming to the end of his amazing, illustrious Hall of Fame career. And after Stipe, there's only one fight left, and it would probably be at light heavyweight, as crazy as that sounds. And by the way, I don't think John would agree to fight him at heavyweight as well. And so we'll see what happens on August 17th. I mean, Stipe may have something to say about all of that, but I don't think he'll entertain any other opponent outside of John Jones after that fight. All right, let's go back to the phone lines and say hello now to Ryan in Alabama. Ryan, how are you?
I'm good, Ari. How are you?
I'm great. What's on your mind?
I was just wondering about, do you really think Luke Rockhold deserves a title shot with one victory at light heavyweight? And if so, how do you think he does against John Jones?
Do I think he deserves it? Probably not. It's been a while since he won. Of course, if he wins that fight, then we'll talk. But, you know, they feel like he's the biggest name. He's certainly the most, you know, the most accomplished of the bunch at 205, but let's just take a moment here and appreciate what's going on at 205. There's a ton of great young fighters coming up. Johnny Walker, Thiago Santos fighting for the belt, Alexander Rakic last week. There's some big names. Corey Anderson is out there, of course, and I think those guys may need a little more time, so putting Luke Rockhold in there, who has been, you know, a little injury prone as of late, buys you a little more time, and so I don't hate that idea. It's a high-profile name. It's a high-profile fight. You know, the Walkers of the world aren't, you know, there aren't, you know, they're not household names just yet. And I don't think Anthony Smith is going to get a title shot anytime soon, even though he came off that amazing win over Alexander Gustafsson just last week. He's going to take some time off, broke his hand, and I don't think there's a market for a rematch against Jones just yet. But we'll see what happens. With the rest of the division, I think Rockhold will probably be the sexiest option out there. But my man, I'm doing a show here. What's going on? These people, you know, the people in Chicago are just very friendly. They just come right up to you to take a photo. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Do I think he deserves it? No, but I do think that they'll lean towards him because he's one of the bigger names in the weight class. Hello. Wow, Chris Weidman is here. Chris, how are you? And manager to the Stars, Jim Walter. Chris, we're on radio right now. Do you want to join us after the break? I have to take a break in 3 minutes. Come sit. We got Chris Weidman here. This is very exciting. Chris Weidman, everyone. Chris.
Just so happened to be walking through this mall in
this
Chicago.
Amazing.
What's going on?
This is what happens. My friend Chris Weidman.
Oh, yeah.
Great to see you.
We got video here or no?
No, this is radio only.
Too bad.
Look at this setup.
I look good today.
Yeah, you don't need that. Your hair is so
right,
good. I want to say happy birthday to CJ, my man, seven years
thank
old.
Thank you very
your
much.
Son.
I appreciate that.
What brings you to Chicago?
To watch my man Funkmaster go
Aljamain
to work.
Aljamain Sterling. Yes. Yeah. If people don't know, we're actually sitting here with our arms around each other.
Yeah, it's starting to get awkward. What do you
okay.
think, guys? Starting to get awkward?
Wow,
let's keep it awkward.
Look
let's
at this crowd
awkward.
That you brought. Chris Weidman has brought a crowd.
Wow. Well, this is my posse. This is my posse.
This is quite the posse. All from Long Island?
That's right. Long Island, baby. Let them hear it. Let them hear it. Where's that Long Island accent at? Whoa. Nothing?
Can you give us a taste? How's Aljamain looking? How's he looking in the gym?
Aljamain has been looking fantastic.
Really? Would you have said if he's not looking fantastic, would you have told us?
No, but I wouldn't be so excited about how fantastic he's been looking.
Okay.
So
you like this fight for him?
He's looking really good, yeah. I think he's really hard to get to. He's really smart. You know, Munoz throws some big bombs, has good jiu-jitsu, but Aljamain is really hard to hit. And I think if he gets to the ground, he is a problem. He gets on someone's back. I mean, he is so damn strong for that weight class that I think no matter, you know, who it is, it's a problem when he gets on top.
Deep dish or New York pizza?
New York pizza.
I mean, it's not...
How you doing? New York pizza.
Yeah,
come on. Listen,
New
how many
York.
Slices? How many slices can you guys have from here? One.
Yeah.
How
it's
can
like,
you
it's
really...
It's like having cake, right?
Come on.
It's too much.
Yeah, it's
you
like having a big piece
gross.
Of crumb cake.
Yeah.
It's no good.
It's no good. How are you? I see the scar. I saw the videos. You're working out. You're feeling good.
I actually feel great. So I've had
break some news for us. When are you coming
two
back?
Two back-to-back surgeries. One being the neck, which was about, I don't know, 17, 18 weeks ago. And then I had the knee surgery about 7 weeks ago. And I actually feel pretty good. My weight's a little heavier and I've been lifting. I've been trying to get stronger. And so I think 205 might be the next step for me.
This is it?
Yeah.
Are you making it official? Is Chris Weidman breaking news?
I'm feeling like I'm making it official.
Whoa.
Yeah. Just because I want to make I just want my body to stay strong and not deplete my body of the nutrients that it needs. And I've had too many surgeries. So if I can keep my body strong, I think, you know.
And when's the ideal month for you to return?
I'm going to say fall, sometime in the fall, October.
Who do we want? Call someone out. 205.
I'm not there yet.
All right.
I'm not there yet.
But that's big. But you just gave us something.
Yeah, I'm giving you a little at a time.
Wow. You guys hear that? Chris Weidman, 205, future 205 champion right here. Chris Weidman, Long Island zone. Well, this is great.
I'm bringing a pace, bringing a crazy pace down there. Hopefully that works.
Like, what do you walk around at? Like, what are you at right now?
I was heavy this morning, 227. But the last 3 days, I've consumed a lot of sodium.
Oh, okay.
So my face is a little fatter, and I'm a little bloated.
I think you look great.
Well, thank you, man.
You look phenomenal. Well, thank you. You know, we've done like seven of these.
I'm starstruck looking at you
right
now. I'm starstruck.
I wanted you on my live show yesterday, but unfortunately, you were not available.
It was
CJ's birthday. But your brother-in-law performed. I don't know if you know he was there.
Yes, I heard
he was horrendous.
He wasn't good.
He was very bad. Not very good would be kind.
You ask him like Harry Potter or like any of those, what's the Japanese film cartoon stuff and the weird
anime.
Dragon Ball Z,
anime.
The anime.
Yes.
Yeah. He's crazy with that. He's unbelievable. But when it comes to like normal day life and UFC fights, he's coolest.
Are you cornering Aljo?
Yeah. No. I'll be in the locker room now, hanging out.
Okay, so where are you going now?
I have to go to the bathroom.
Okay,
and I'm actually
working
at the Monster booth.
All right,
down the street. So there are people online actually waiting for me. What am I doing here right now?
No, I don't know what you're doing.
This is rude. This is rude.
Chris Weidman, everyone.
You.
Chris Weidman, future 205 champ, breaks news on our program. What a mensch! Wow, that's what happens when you listen to this program. Yes, of course. Jim, what are you trying to say? You say I have dirty hands? Unbelievable. Helwani Show on ESPN Radio. More of your calls after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Helwani Show on ESPN Radio. We're getting you set for UFC 238. It goes down in about an hour and a half from right here in the Windy City. Beautiful city. What a great time of the year here in Chicago. UFC 238 headlined by two title fights. Henry Cejudo versus Marlon Moraes for the vacant UFC bantamweight title. And, of course, Valentina Shevchenko against Jessica Ai for the women's flyweight title. And the people's main event, Donald Cerrone against Tony Ferguson. What a great fight that will be. The Helwani Show presented by Ageless Male tonight, this afternoon, right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. The ridiculously fast-acting nitric oxide booster that won't go unnoticed. Ageless Male tonight. Sounds phenomenal. Rush to Walmart right now and get Ageless Male tonight. Back to the phone lines we go. 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's 1-888-729-3776. More of your calls. Let's run through these. Let's go to Jose in Illinois. Jose, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Ariel. How you doing? Hola.
Hola, my friend.
I like your show, and I really like the way you're doing your MMA reporting. I was telling your producer I didn't like you at first.
Oh, thanks.
But as I got to hear you in more and more talk, you're very good, and you're doing a good job.
Well, thank you.
And I got Mr. Cerrone winning tonight.
Well, I'm happy that you've turned the corner on me. I guess I can be an acquired taste, if you will, but I'm glad that you're with us now. Cerrone's a good pick. There's no doubt about that. He's looked amazing since moving down to 155. He's looked amazing since becoming a dad. I joked about this earlier this week on SportsCenter, a little cheap plug for you over there. When I became a dad, I got a dad bod. When he became a dad, he became a killer. And it seems like the mental side of the game is no longer a problem for him. He no longer has to deal with those hurdles. He seems at peace. He seems happy. He seems motivated. And he's finally talking about going on a title run. It's a brand new guy. And it's not just, like a thing that people are talking about, a made-up narrative. He definitely feels like a brand new guy. He's acting like a brand new guy. That's what fatherhood will do to you. It's a beautiful thing to watch. So a big fight for him. If he wins tonight, wouldn't be surprised if they keep him next for a title. And, of course, there's the Conor McGregor thing out there, and Conor can cut the line, and I wouldn't be surprised if they go with him, regardless of what happens in this fight. But you can certainly say the winner of this fight should be next for the title. You could say that, at least. Mark in New York, what's up?
Howdy, sir.
Mark in New York is saying howdy. That's bizarre. I guess you're a Cowboy fan.
I hope not, God. But anyways, I've been enjoying your MBA stuff as well.
So. Oh, thank you.
Kudos. Yes,
I'm trying to expand. You know, a lot of people think I'm a one-trick pony over here, but I know as much NBA as anyone. I'll go toe-to-toe with any of you guys. I know that the Bulls suck. I know that the Bulls will never be a good franchise. Yeah, that's right. I said it. The Bulls suck. They suck.
Don't get too comfy with your Raptors, though.
Yeah,
remember
my
your
Raptors.
Knicks.
That's
Please
right.
Please remember your Knicks.
Listen, for now, it's all about the Raptors. We're winning in five. And yes, I said five. And we'll deal with the Knicks later, all right?
All right. Do you think there's any way Cejudo wins tonight? Can he avoid Marlon for five rounds without getting clocked?
Listen, I think there's a very good chance he wins tonight. I think he's phenomenal. I am a little worried about these reports that he got banged up earlier this week. His team doesn't want to talk about it. But when you're fighting Marlon Moraes, you got to be at 100%. You have to be at 100%. He is so fast. He has looked so good in his last three fights, those three first-round finishes. Marlon's a killer. And I was talking to his coach, Mark Henry, and he said that as far as wrestling goes, Marlon has the best takedown defense in the entire team. And we're talking about a team that features the likes of Eddie Alvarez, Frankie Edgar, Zabit Magomedsharipov. I mean, a who's who. And they all say that Marlon is the best as far as takedown D. They compared him to a young Jose Aldo. So can Henry Cejudo take him down? Will he be able to take him down? And if he's banged up, can he take him down? These are questions that I can't wait to see, how they actually play out. I can't wait to see the answers to those questions, pardon the pun, when talking about Frankie Edgar. So, yeah, phenomenal fight. Henry has a shot, of course, but it's going to be tough. He is a tough out. All right, let's go to Chris in Los Angeles. Chris, what's up? Chris, are you there?
Hello, Ariel. How are you?
Hey, Chris. I'm good. What's up?
I have a question about Valentina Shevchenko, and I've bugged you with this question on Twitter a few times, and I finally gave up. But Are you aware Valentina has her undergraduate degree in film directing from the University of Kyrgyzstan?
I am not aware of that. Thank you. It's a little that nugget
is,
from
it
you.
It is
look
verifiable. She has an IMDb page. It says it right on there. I would love to know if you have a chance to ask her if she has any aspirations to, you know, go back to film directing, film acting, or anything like that in her post-fight career.
How did you come across that?
You know, it was actually on the UFC's old website, you know, at the very bottom of her bio, buried. And I myself am got my bachelor's degree in film, and I came across it and was like, wow, it's something I've always wondered about her, and just curious to see if she wants to follow through with that eventually in her post-fight career.
That's amazing. All right, thank you for that. I certainly will ask her about that. I appreciate the call very much. You're listening to The Helwani Show right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. It is brought to you by New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, now with four levels of defense against gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. Back to the phone lines we go. Let's go to Danny on Long Island. And you notice, Danny, I say on Long Island, not in Long Island like the jabronis out there. It's on Long Island, right?
That is 100% correct, Ariel.
My man. Danny, how are you?
Good. How are you? I missed Chris Weidman by like a few minutes.
How about Chris Weidman showing up unannounced and telling the world that he has officially decided to move up to 205? Did you hear that?
I did, and I actually have a question about the 205 division.
Okay, let's go.
What are the chances that Thiago Santos beats Jones? Is it close, or do you think Jones is just on such another level that it's not going to happen?
Santos hits really hard, and anytime you have knockout power, you have a chance. But that being said, John Jones is on another level. He's the best 205er in the world right now. There's no doubt about that, and he has been that for quite some time. I have the utmost respect for him. I think sometimes the Anthony Smith fight, I think he should have finished him earlier, and maybe he was kind of fighting down a little bit or just wasn't 100% motivated. I was surprised he didn't finish him earlier because he was dominating him. But I think he respects Thiago Santos' power. I think he's aware of it. I think he's not going to play around with him, and I think he's going to try to finish him relatively soon, first, second round. But look, you could get caught. We've seen crazier things in this octagon. We've seen Matt Serra do his thing. We saw Chris Weidman do his thing and, you know, shock the world. And so I'm not going to count him out, but if you're asking for a pick, obviously it has to be John Jones. Let's squeeze in one more call if we can. Let's go to Don in L.A. Don, what's up?
Ariel, you're what's up, buddy. Man, I was just driving around on the mean streets of L.A. I turned on the radio. There you were, so I had to stop and call in.
Thank you.
Man, oh, man. I'm just digging this show. An intelligent perspective. Who knew? God, it's great. Very refreshing on Sports Talk Radio. Real quick, I want to ask your opinion. You know, it's very embarrassing. Like, I've been in martial arts all my life. I'm an old geezer. I still train just to keep my hand in. But I see,
Do me a favor, Don. Stay right there because we're up against a break, but I want to give you an opportunity to have your call. So if you don't mind waiting a few more minutes, just stay right there, and we're going to take this quick break if you don't mind, all right? More of The Helwani Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Brett Okamoto also coming up. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to The Helwani Show right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are live from the United Center atrium, just steps away from the Michael Jordan statue. We're getting you set for UFC 238. It kicks off in a little over an hour from now, 6:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Today's show is presented by Ageless Male Tonight, brought to you by the ridiculously fast-acting nitric oxide booster that won't go unnoticed. Rush right now to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight. Callers and guests on the program appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can get in touch with us through our 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed, or you can reach us via 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's 1-888-729-3776. UFC 238 is stacked. I left Don hanging prior to the break, so let's go back to Don in L.A., and then we'll be joined in a matter of moments by Brett Okamoto of ESPN. Don, what's up?
Oh, man, you're what's up. Thanks for keeping me on.
Yes.
Man, you know, I was just wondering your opinion. I wanted to get, like, there's a contrast between stand-up fighters that learn how to grapple, at least survive, like the great GSP that started out as a striker, but then he learned jiu-jitsu, wrestling, et cetera, versus a guy like a Conor McGregor that gets humiliated on the ground, doesn't seem to put in the time ever, you know. I mean, I didn't mind when that Chechen guy, like tell him, oh, you talk now, as yeah. he's crushing him like a python. You know, it's just what gets into guys. I mean, my background is more from striking. I mean, just an old geezer. But still, I work on grappling just so I won't get humiliated, God forbid, you know.
I understand where you're coming from, Don, but Khabib Nurmagomedov is maybe the most dominant fighter in the history of the sport. He's an incredible wrestler. He's got amazing strength. His grappling is second to none. So I have a feeling that both you and I would both be humiliated. Anyone would be humiliated. And so actually, look, Conor won a round. Conor's the only fighter to ever win a round against Khabib in the UFC. So he didn't do as bad as a lot of people say after the fact. And even my partner Chael Sonnen, I was watching the fight with him. He thought that his wrestling was actually not that bad. And I don't think Conor was at 100%. I'm not giving him excuses, but I think the second time around, I think he'd actually have a closer fight against Khabib, as crazy as that sounds. He's not fighting Khabib, of course, in September. It's Dustin Poirier, but I have a feeling they will fight before it's all said and done. All right, let's go to the phone lines and say hello to my colleague, Brett Okamoto, who is somewhere in Chicago, I think, en route to the United Center. Brett, how are you?
I'm great, man. And yes, I am en route. Actually, I'm sitting in the car in front of the hotel waiting for one Michael Bisping to join me. So if you hear a loud British accent in the background, I apologize beforehand. That is Michael Bisping crashing your radio show.
I have been in that spot before. He is always late. And so I feel like we have another 10, 15 minutes before he emerges. But
probably.
Let's stick with the 185-205-pound theme here for a second, because just moments ago we had Chris Weidman pop in out of nowhere and tell us that he has officially decided to move up to 205. Breaking news, not related to 238, but I was wondering, what do you think of this move for Weidman?
Yeah, I think it was going to be coming at one time or another for Chris. It was just a matter of when. And that guy has had so many setbacks in his career, just in terms of injuries, and you and I have talked to fighters about this in the past, that sometimes when you hit a certain number of those, you do start to wonder if maybe the weight cut, not that it's the reason for them, but if it is, you want to do everything in your power to be healthy, right? And weight cuts are the opposite of healthy. They are a little unhealthy, in my opinion. So it doesn't surprise me that he wants to regroup and he wants to make this jump now.
Talking to Brett Okamoto here on the Helwani Show on ESPN Radio, getting you set for UFC 238. It's a little over an hour away. It kicks off on ESPN Plus. Joanne Calderwood versus Caitlin Chookagian. You've been here for almost the entire week. And of course, you could talk about Cejudo and Marlon and Ferguson Cerrone. You know, the main topics have been discussed at this point ad nauseum. Is there a storyline, a story, a particular nugget or two that has emerged over your time here in Chicago over the past week that maybe isn't getting some shine, that you didn't expect, that you want to talk to us about? Is there anything that came, like, you, when you came here, you weren't thinking about, but now as we approach the first fight of the night in an hour, has got you thinking a little bit?
I was already thinking about this one coming in, but just seeing Aljamain Sterling again this week in person, the amount of mental confidence that this guy has right now, I'm really intrigued by him. And I know you and I had a conversation the other day about, is this a number one contender fight between him and Pedro Munhoz? I think it is. And one of the reasons I do think that is because of just how high personally I am on Aljamain Sterling. This was one of those guys where very early on in his career years ago, we said, look at the potential of this guy. Look at all of the raw ability that he has. If he's able to put it together, he is going to be a number one contender. He's going to fight for a UFC title. And then it's taken him a little bit of time. He's had some setbacks in some big key moments, but I think we've arrived at this time, and I think Aljamain in his head has arrived at that time, and he is just so utterly confident. And then there's been a little bit of bad blood between him and Pedro Munhoz this week, so again, I was excited for that fight already, but everything about this week has just made it even more so for me.
Yeah, I'm actually not surprised that you said that, because I can tell that you have been very excited about that fight. It's a super important one, and it fits perfectly, because this does sort of feel like a mini middleweight tournament, if you will, with the main event, with Piotr Jan going up against Jameer Vera, with that fight. I mean, it's great. I like when they do this sort of thing. You remember a few years ago when they had like the heavyweight main card? I think it was UFC 146. All the fights were heavyweight. I'd like for them to bring that sort of thing back. Like, I wouldn't have minded if all those fights were on the main card. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously there's a lot that goes into that, and the timing has to be absolutely right. You have to want to do it on a card and not waste all of your bullets if you're looking to set up different storylines as a promoter. But of course, when it does happen, it is fascinating. I wish that the UFC kind of would have you know, talked about this, I guess, a little bit more, maybe structured the fights in a way where it felt a little bit more like that bantamweight tournament. I think we all are recognizing that, but it's been kind of, I don't think that the promotion has necessarily acknowledged it as much, but it certainly is a big storyline for us, you know, that we've been talking about all week, that, you know, opposite the main event is a 135, and you've got those big key fights with big key players up and down the card in that weight class.
All right, Brett, so we need you to go on the record for us because there's some big fights, and people are coming to me up here in Chicago or at the United Center right next to the Michael Jordan statue asking for my take on the fight, so we got to get yours. Tony Ferguson, Donald Cerrone, who do you like?
I'm taking Dad Cerrone.
Wow.
Just the gut feeling. It's going to be a wild fight. You know, both of their coaches have told us that it's going to be a wild fight, that it could break down stylistically. It could turn into who is the toughest last man standing. Right now, I cannot pick against Donald Cerrone, the Dad Cerrone, Jimmy Cowboy, by some type of finish.
And how about that picture that Tony Ferguson posted yesterday on Instagram? They were actually in the sauna together late Thursday night cutting weight. And just, what's the story again? He just kind of said, like, they came to the agreement that this is going to be a wild brawl and may the best man win?
Yeah, I think it went exactly how you would picture it. You know, a cowboy kind of hunched over is what I'm picturing in the sauna. He looks over and he gives Tony a grin and says, let's get it Saturday. I mean, can't you just see Cowboy saying that?
Yes.
And can't you see Tony agreeing to it? I think that that's exactly what happened.
Cejudo Moraes, who do you got? Or did we lose Brett? Is he still there?
I'm still here. You guys got me?
Yeah. Cejudo or Moraes?
Man, another one where I'm going to go with my gut, and I'm going to go with Cejudo. My brain tells me Moraes. I think this is a tough stylistic fight for Henry. I think it's obviously a legit 135-pound fight. He's moving up in weight. This is Marlon's longtime home. He's looked great there. He's got really the momentum to me, even though Henry's coming off into the two biggest wins of his career. But I don't know. Something about Henry Cejudo, man. I'm going to go with Cejudo.
And does Jessica Ai pull off the upset? Does she shock the world and beat Valentina, or does Valentina Shevchenko retain the title?
I don't think she does, but she gives it one big college try, right? I mean, one thing we know about Jessica Ai is that she believes in herself, even when no one else does. And she has no problem screaming for these opportunities, even when people are like, you're not a number one contender. We don't want to see you in a title fight. She has always believed in herself throughout this entire process. So that makes her dangerous. But Valentina Shevchenko is, you know, we've said it all week, maybe the best female fighter in the world. So I think she'll get it done.
I'll see you in a few minutes, Brett. Thank you for doing this.
Yep, we'll see you over there.
There he is, Brett Okamoto of ESPN. We got a crowd gathering here at the atrium inside the United Center. So it seems like this is a Cejudo crowd, guys. Is Henry Cejudo or Marlon Moraes winning? Henry Cejudo, let's hear it. Okay, Marlon Moraes? I think it's a Henry Cejudo crowd. Donald Cerrone? Pretty loud. Tony Ferguson? I don't know. Let's go one more time. Donald Cerrone. Okay. Tony Ferguson. I have no idea. Who wins? I think Donald Cerrone, you guys. I think it's Donald Cerrone, right? I'm not sure. Cowboy. All right. Jessica Ai? Wow, one person wearing a Jessica Ai shirt. Well done, my man. Well done. Yes, Jim Walter. Thank you very much. Valentina Shevchenko? All right, it seems like Shevchenko country here. All right, this has been a lot of fun. We got a lot more to go. We got a lot more calls. If you're standing by, Guzman, Josh, Eddie, Ryan, Robert, and everyone else, don't go anywhere. More of the Helwani Show right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, live from Chicago, UFC 238, an hour away. We're back after this. Oh, yeah, I like the Chicago music. That's what we like to do. Each and every town we go to before these pay-per-views, we like to give you a flavor, a little taste. Great job by Ryan and Ezzy back in Bristol. This is the Helwani Show right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. It is presented by our good friends over at Ageless Mail Tonight and all the callers that you've been hearing up here via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I'm having a blast out here in Chicago. Who's having fun? Yeah, we got a great crowd here at the United Center in the atrium right next to the Michael Jordan statue. It's a great facility here. It's beautiful. And it's a great place if you want to maybe propose to your future wife or husband. You can give him some flowers, perhaps some flowers via 1-800-Flowers.com. And that's also where you can get in touch with us, our 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed. But I want you to call me, 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's 1-888-729-3776. We're getting you set for UFC 238. It's up in a little less than an hour, and right now the phone lines are jam-packed, so let's get to them so we can free some up. Let's go to Guzman in Orlando. Guzman, what's up?
Hey, Ariel. I just wanted to say, big fan of the show and your work for the sport of MMA. Amazing journalist. My question is, if Henry Cejudo wins tonight, where do you have him in the pound-for-pound rankings?
Oh, my God. That is a great question, and not one, Guzman, that I've thought of extensively. Right now, off the top of my head, I think I have him third or fourth. I would put him, God, because, okay, so one and two have to be Jones and DC, and then you got Khabib, but this guy will have two titles. Do you put him above Khabib? Yes, you put him above Khabib? Wow, they're telling me in Chicago here you put him above Khabib. Do you put him above Cormier? No, you can't put him above Cormier. Put him above Jones? No. All right. Okay. Relax. So I say we go Jones, DC, Cejudo, Khabib. Yeah? All right. Well, there you go. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. You guys helped me through that one. Guzman, thank you very much. Let's go to John in Las Vegas. John, how are you?
Hi, Ariel.
Hey, John.
Yeah, this is actually Ashley. John's a little busy, so I was taking the call for him. How are you?
I'm good.
You're kind of sexy. You kind of remind me of my dad.
Okay, thank you for the call, Ashley and John. Let's go to line three. Let's go to Josh in Queens. Josh, what's up?
Hey, Ariel. Not much. Looking forward to this big card tonight. I love these deep cards.
As do I. I love them very much. You know what else I love, Josh? I love baseball, and I want to tell you that you can tune into an NL Central rivalry tomorrow night as the Cubs host the Cardinals, presented by Indeed. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and 7 p.m. on ESPN. You see how I did that, Josh? I'm becoming like a radio pro here. It's incredible.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
I had a question on what you and Brett were talking about earlier with the bantamweight division. Just curious, who do you think gets the next shot? Is it it seems like the winner of Aljamain Pedro has done the most. Teodor Yan is like the potential boogeyman there, and then who knows if Cruiser Faber ends back up in contention. So I just wondering, who do you think's the next challenger?
By the way, props on Piotr Yan. That's a job well done out of you. Well done. It reminds me of a few years ago when they had that little tournament at 205 and they said, whoever looks the best is going to emerge, because you have those four names that you just talked about. And you also have Corey Sanhagen out there who's got a big fight against Rafael Sunsal. And so I want to know who looks the best. I think Munoz is in a good spot coming off the win over Cody Garbrandt. If he could get a win over Aljo, Aljo's in a good spot. He's got a loyal following. He's popular. So I don't think anyone is set in stone. I don't think you can say, like the Joanne Calderwood-Chukagian fight, if Calderwood wins tonight, I think you could say Calderwood is next. But in this particular case, at 135, I don't know if you could say anyone is next. I think someone is next. Someone is close of that bunch, but someone has to look good and emerge, break through the pack. And that's why this card and this situation with all the bantamweights is a lot of fun. I like it very much. I like when they group a lot of the contenders together with a title fight because everyone is aligned. You want their schedules to align. So let's see who looks good. Let's see who emerges. I think Piotr Jan, if he wins tonight, could very well be in that discussion as well. I think he's got a big fight, and I think if you win against Jimmy Rivera, you could certainly make the case as well. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's say hello to Eddie in the home of the 2019 NBA champion Toronto Raptors. It's going down. It's happening on Monday. Eddie, are we hyped for the Raptors or what?
Man, we are going crazy. I love it. The home, you said it perfectly.
Yes.
2019 NBA champion.
Who would have thought, right? Who would have thought, my man?
Deliver, stamp it, put it in the mail, send it out. That's it. We're going to bury them here on Monday.
Yes, I love it. I see my guy Stephen A. saying that if KD comes back, they're still going to win. There's no chance. It's a done deal.
That guy is the biggest hater. I don't know. You know what? You are the one who carries that station, Ariel.
Stop it.
I'm telling you right now. Just saying that because you're a fellow Canadian. I love you. Oh, everybody loves you, man.
Eddie, you're the man. Listen, it's a done deal. Like it's a done deal that the Chicago Bulls might be the worst franchise in the NBA right now. That's right, I said it. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? All right, Eddie, what's on your mind?
Listen, I wanted your thoughts on the state of the lightweight division. Are you like me? Is this just not an absolute train wreck? And is Dana White not responsible for this? I mean, here we have a great fight. that we can look forward to tonight. We got El Cucuy versus Cowboy, two great fighters. And whoever wins this fight, you know, what's their path next? I mean, the top of this division is so jammed up, and you had Conor holding it up for 2 years. Is Dana White not responsible for all of this craziness? Am I wrong? Let's go Raptors, baby. I love you, Chicago.
Oh, Eddie is the man. A great call, Eddie. You know, it's the deepest weight class in the sport. It also has the biggest draws. It also has the biggest egos. And sometimes when you mix all that together, you're going to have some problems. And so Conor plays by a different set of rules. Conor is the kind of guy who can demand title shots, and they're going to listen to him because he is a draw, because he makes so much money, because he is so so popular. You know what I mean? And so, listen, if you want to move back to the meritocracy, that's all well and good, but the UFC is in a position right now where they have to make a lot of money, and so that's why they lean towards Conor. And the problem is, you have already set the precedent with Conor. You let him cut the line at 155. You let him get the rematch against Nate Diaz when it didn't make sense and he was the 145-pound champion. You're giving him all these opportunities. You let him fight Khabib when you could have made a case that someone else was more deserving, like a Tony Ferguson. And so how do you backtrack from that? You can't. But I do feel, by the way, I do feel like we're starting to, you know, get back on track here. Dustin Poirier is getting the shot. Tony Ferguson's fighting Don Cerrone. I feel like things are actually starting to figure themselves out, and that's good. I like it better when the most deserving person gets a title shot. That's what I like. I don't like it when it's the biggest draw. I like it old days. Number one contender gets a title shot. Let's see who's next. You know, you always know. You look at the rankings. All right, this guy's up next. John Fitch up next. Not the biggest draw, but he's fighting GSP. I like that. That's what I like. I'm an old school guy. I'm a purist, and I want them to move back to that sort of way of matchmaking. All right, much more of the Helwani Show right here on ESPN Radio. We got so many more calls. Ryan, Robert, Rance, Joe, all of you who are standing by, 1-888-SAY-ESPN. Much more to come from right here in Chicago, UFC 238. It kicks off at 6:15 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+. Plus. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. Oh, yes. Helwani Show, ESPN Radio, the number one MMA show in all of the world, doing our thing here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. It is presented by Ageless Male. Tonight we are getting you set for UFC 238, which kicks off in about 45 minutes from now. And like I said, this show is presented by Ageless Male tonight. The calls have been phenomenal. You know about Ageless Male tonight. I've been telling you about them all show long, the ridiculously fast-acting nitric oxide booster that won't go unnoticed, much like this program. Rush to Walmart right now and get Ageless Male tonight. Give us a call, 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's 1-888-729-3776. We only have like 30 minutes left. All the callers have been brought to you by the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can get in touch with us through the 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed. Back to the phone lines we go. A lot of people have been standing by, and I want to hear from all of you. Let's go to Robert in Texas. Robert, what's up?
Hey, Ariel. How are you doing?
I'm great, man.
So my first question, I'm really excited about the Tony Ferguson and Donald Cerrone fight. I think it's potential fight of the year. And I'm just curious on what you think is next for the loser of this fight. Who do you think they're going to go
Why do you have next? To focus on the negative? But I actually like the fact that you threw me a curveball there. The loser of the fight. That's really interesting. Wow. So everyone's been talking about who's next, who's going to fight, you know, who's going to fight Conor next, who's going to fight Dustin Poirier, Khabib Nurmagomedov. Golly, you might have stumped me. I mean, maybe Justin Gaethje, right? Ally Quinta is out there who wants to get back. Islam Makhachev just got a fight. I think Justin Gaethje's been angling for that Conor McGregor fight if he can't get that. I'd love to see Ferguson, Justin Gaethje. It depends. Of course, when you think about the loser, you know, you say, how did they lose? Did they get injured? Are they going to be out for quite some time? So it's always hard to predict who's next for the loser. And that's why we always sort of focus on the winner, because you suspect that he's going to be a little healthier and available to turn around in relative short order. But Gaethje's the one guy out there who's been looking for a fight. Also, Paul Felder looking for a fight. I had him on my show yesterday. The live show that we had here in Chicago was amazing at Lincoln Hall. We had our first ever Nose World Order Trivia Championship. Five fighters, Stipe Miocic, Paul Felder. We had Eddie Alvarez Who else did we have? Steven Thompson. We had Ben Askren there, and they vied for the championship. It was incredible. And Felder said that he's been frustrated. He wants to fight against Gaethje. Gaethje doesn't want to fight him, so maybe him as well. Great call, Robert. Thank you very much for it. Let's go to Ryan in Maryland. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good, Errol. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for calling the Helwani Show, my man.
I want to ask about the flyweight division.
Okay.
He's neither confirmed or denied with TSN this week about the future of the flyweight division. 12 fighters on the roster, writing's on the wall. Do you think a Cejudo win tonight is the final nail in the coffin for that division?
Is it the final nail, or is it possible that Cejudo... Honestly, I don't know to make heads or tails. Like, it's so confusing. What is going on? Why are they so coy about this all? I think for certain they wanted to get rid of the flyweight division. And I do think that Cejudo has slowly but surely convinced them to reconsider. Now, has he done enough to reconsider or to get them to reconsider? I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if he's officially gotten them to change their mind. But I do know that he has planted that little seed of doubt in their mind because he is so charismatic, because he is so fun, because he is so cringy, because the fans either want to see him win or lose. They care about him now. He's made them emotionally invested in his journey, good or bad. But you just want the investment. And so I do think that they are slowly but surely reconsidering. They're also getting rid of the division, slowly but surely. Actually, pretty quickly. As you said, 12 fighters left. There's not that many big names left. There is a big fight between Joseph Benavidez and Jussier Formiga coming up in a few weeks, and so maybe that can be next for Cejudo. But I'm not ready to close the door. You know why? Because I don't want to close the door, because I think this would be a huge mistake, especially with Cejudo around. If he loses, bring him back to 125. You got a champion there who's super charismatic and super fun and super talented. Why close it now? This is what you were looking for with DJ. This is what you wanted with DJ. You got the guy. Why do you want to get rid of him? You're doing 42 shows. You're doing interim titles left, right, and center. You need legitimate champions. You're telling me that an Olympic gold medalist isn't a legitimate champion, isn't someone that you can promote, isn't someone that you can get people behind? A guy who's from, you know, California, who speaks Spanish, who speaks Portuguese, who speaks English, who's good-looking, who's fun? Come on. What are you doing? Why? You have a 145-pound women's weight class. You got like 3 fighters in that weight class, and you can't find fighters for Cejudo to fight? It's a crazy thing. So I want them to keep it. I'm going to hold out hope, and I hope that regardless of what happens in the main event, they keep it. All right? Let's go to Ryan. No, we did Ryan. Let's go to Rose in Toronto, home of the 2019 NBA champion Toronto Raptors. Rose, are you hyped or what?
That's right, baby. Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
I'm very psyched, very excited. Lots of skipping work next week. It's all great. So too bad you can't be here with us, but we know your energy. We know you'll be with us in spirit.
Yes. I love Canada. I love Toronto. I love the Raptors. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's close it out on Monday.
That's right. So my question is towards your comment about you being an MMA purist. I'm a massive GSP fan and was very excited to hear about the possibility of a match between Khabib and GSP. GSP now being retired... But because I'm a massive fan and he is a poster boy of what all up-and-coming MMA fighters should and strive to be in and out of the octagon, what do you think about the rematch if it were, not rematch, the match if it were to take place?
Okay, so that's a great question, Rose, because you know that GSP holds a special place in my heart and I think he is the greatest of all time and obviously a pioneer of this sport in the face of Canadian MMA. I would love to see that fight. Now, I have concerns about whether or not he can make 155. I certainly think he can make 165, and I certainly think that he would give Khabib a really tough fight. I think he could beat Khabib Nurmagomedov. He's that darn good, and I think it would be very intriguing, but here's the problem. At the end of the day, Rose, this is the problem. The problem is that the UFC didn't want to make this fight because they already felt burned by him twice. They felt burned when he left the 170-pound weight class back at UFC 167, and they felt burned after he left the middleweight division after beating Michael Bisping, and so they don't want to have him beat Khabib, because he could beat Khabib, and then have him walk away, because now you can't make money off of the guy who just beat the guy. And so they have a problem with that, and I think Dana White says, look, we gave him 2 opportunities here, he walked away with a belt, we're not going to do it again. And so I would be shocked, unless they're truly desperate, unless they really feel like they can't do anything else with Khabib, I would be shocked if they make that fight. But it would be great. I'd love to see it. And yes, I know I'm a purist, but, you know, GSP, kind of like Conor, kind of gets to play by his own rules. Thank you very much for the call, Rose. I appreciate it. And again, Go Raptors. We the North. We're going to do it on Monday, baby. We are going to do it. We are going to take the championship home, something that the Chicago Bulls will never do in my lifetime ever again. That's right. I said it. Chicago Bulls, never, ever again. You're listening to the Helwani Show right here on ESPN Radio. We got just about 20 minutes left before we get you ready for UFC 238, 6:15 Eastern on ESPN Plus. Joanne Calderwood against Caitlin Chookagian kicks off the card. Let's go back to the phone lines and say hello to Joe in Houston. My man, Joe Daddy. Joe, how are you?
What's up, my man? I had two things I wanted to talk about, but you brought up Cejudo, so that had me thinking. You know, people were online, you know, talking about this, you know, what is this clown doing? He looks dumb. But let me tell you something. You have to draw interest in your fights. And these other guys that are tweeting about him have no clue what they're talking about. I'm not interested in their fights. And I was already a fan of Cejudo, but once he put that video out, Raimondi has 245,000 views on that one video that he put out with the King outfit. Man, you got to do something to draw interest for people to watch your fights. He's doing a great job. I was already a fan before, so other fighters need to learn from what he did. Whatever it is, do something to draw interest to get eyeballs. That's the name of the game right now. That's all I got, Helwani.
Love what you do, man. Joe, you're the man, and that's a great call. I mean, if Mark Raimondi, my colleague at ESPN, is getting 200,000 views on a video for Henry Cejudo doing some wacky thing, I mean, now you know that something's happening because Mark Raimondi is never getting 200,000 views. So, yes, Cejudo is doing incredibly well. It's magical what he's doing. It's unbelievable what he's doing. This is a guy that no one really cared about around a year ago. Before he fought DJ, no one even thought he deserved. I remember it was in Chicago last June that it was a pretty much done deal at that point that he was going to fight DJ, and everyone was like, DJ and Cejudo, we're going to see that again? We saw that fight at 197. Let's see Formiga. Now all of a sudden, people care about him. I'm telling you, I was at the media day 2 days ago in this very location. He got more cameras around him than Tony Ferguson. More people cared about Cejudo. He was showing up with the crown, with the cape, with the toys. People could say whatever they want, but that stuff works. And of course, you have to back it up, and he's backing it up. He knocked out TJ Dillashaw that was on EPO in 32 seconds back in January. You're telling me this guy's not legit? He's an Olympic gold medalist, for crying out loud. You're telling me he's not legit? That he doesn't deserve to have a division built around him? That he doesn't deserve this opportunity against Marlon? I can't wait for that fight. I know a lot has been made of the people's main event, Ferguson Cerrone, but this is a phenomenal, phenomenal fight. It's an amazing fight. It is the highest level of MMA that you're going to see. Cejudo Moraes, I hope Cejudo's healthy. I hope the rumors aren't true. His team doesn't want to talk about it, which, quite frankly, makes me a little nervous, makes me a little concerned, but this is a phenomenal fight. Cejudo Moraes in the main event, Valentina Shevchenko, Jessica Eye in the co-main event, Tony Ferguson, Donald Cerrone, Jimmy Rivera, Piotr Jan, Tai Tuivasa against Blagoy Ivanov. That's the main card. Tatiana Suarez, Nina Ansaroff, Pedro Munoz, Aljamain Sterling, Karolina Kovalkiewicz, Alexa Grasso, Ricardo Lamas, Calvin Kattar. That's the ESPN 8 o'clock prelims. And then it's Shano Yan against Angela Hill, Bavon Lewis, Darren Stewart, Eddie Wineland, Grigory Popov, and Caitlin Chookagian, Joanne Calderwood, which kicks off in about 30 minutes' time. One more segment to go. More of your phone calls, if you're standing by, will get you. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Helwani Show right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Final round of the Helwani Show right here on ESPN Radio. It's been a great 2 hours here in Chicago. We're inside the United Center. Everyone getting set for UFC 238. It kicks off at 6:15 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Plus. Big fight in the 125-pound female weight class. Joanne Calderwood against Caitlin Chookagian. All right. A lot of people are standing by, and of course you're listening to The Helwani Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Ageless Male tonight. We thank them for their support. Let's get to the phone lines here, because we've got about 10 minutes left before we say goodbye, and you can sit back and enjoy. And by the way, at 7 p.m. Eastern, I want to remind you that we are doing a pre-show at the same time as the prelims on YouTube and Twitter, myself, Michael Bisping, Dominic Cruz. You can do a little second screen experience if you want. You can watch that while you're watching the fights. Also want to remind you, if you missed yesterday's Helwani Roadshow, you can check it out on our iTunes feed. So it was a lot of fun with Stipe and Askren and Wonderboy and Eddie Alvarez and Paul Felder doing some trivia. It was amazing. The first ever NWO, Knows World Order Trivia Championship, was on the line. An electric night, and I hope to do many more of them. It was really magical. It was a dream come true to do a live show in front of 200 plus people. I loved it. I love doing this radio show. Let's get back to the phone lines. Marlon in Illinois. Marlon, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How about you, Ariel?
I'm great, my man.
I was at the weigh-ins yesterday, and I was wondering what you think of Henry Cejudo's training team there, DuraForce. Are they like the wave of the future or what?
Well, you know, I must say I have been blown away by the transformation of Cejudo's body. He looks phenomenal. I follow him on social media. I see the photos, and I see him tagging that company, and, I mean, he just looks incredible. Yes, he's a little undersized for 135, but he is jacked. He is in great shape. I think he weighed in yesterday at 134. You'll recall when he first came into the UFC, he was having trouble making weight. In fact, at UFC 177, he didn't end up fighting because he missed weight, couldn't make weight, and actually quit the sport. And his head coach, Captain Eric Albarracin, convinced him to stay and said, no, you are not quitting. You're an Olympic gold medalist. You made it to the UFC. This is part of the dream. You're not quitting. Imagine if he wasn't as convincing. We may never have seen any of this stuff at Henry Cejudo. So he is really coming into his own. His body is in phenomenal shape, and I'm curious to see how he looks at 135. He's fast, but Marlon's a great wrestler. He's equally as fast, if not faster, and Marlon has looked phenomenal at 135 as well in his last three fights. So what a great fight that is. I can't wait for it. It's coming up later tonight on the ESPN Plus pay-per-view portion of the card. Let's go to Josh in Spokane. Josh, what's up?
Hey, Ariel, I just want to say I'm a big fan of you, by the way.
I love you, Josh. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'd like to talk about the Tony Ferguson and Donald Cerrone fight. These two fighters obviously want to fight Conor McGregor next. If either one of those fighters win, would you say they're going to fight McGregor next or most likely fight either Dustin Poirier or Khabib?
Well, the thing about McGregor is that he has a broken left hand right now. We know that the left hand is so important for Conor. But he is hoping to return, I'm told, late summer, early fall. And so I think it's, look, fighting Conor is a belt unto itself. People may not want to admit it, but if you get to fight Conor, that's a big deal, and you could stand to make more money than being the champion. And so it's either Conor or the belt for those guys. The winner of the fight tonight between Ferguson and Cerrone has to fight either Conor or the belt. And we can bellyache all we want about Conor not deserving it and not being, you know, the draw that he is. It's not true. He is the draw that he is. He is, I don't care what anyone says, the highest paid fighter in this sport. He's the biggest draw in the history of the sport. He's the biggest draw in the history of the sport. And that's fact. And if anyone wants to prove me otherwise, I want to see fact. I don't care if you say it. Show me the numbers. Because until someone shows me the numbers, Conor is that guy. He's the king. And so the winner of this fight would take a Conor McGregor fight. I have no doubt about it. Cerrone says that he has an inkling that the fight between Poirier and Khabib will fall through and that he'll be able to step in. We'll see. But those are the stakes in this fight. No doubt about it. It's Conor or the title. And those are pretty damn good stakes. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Anthony in San Diego. My man, Anthony. What's up?
Ariel, I just want to echo what the previous caller said and that I love what you're doing. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Anthony. I appreciate that. What's on your mind?
I would like to touch on a little bit of also what you just said in the Conor McGregor effect, in that, you know, the boundary in what's expected of these fighters has been crossed between sport and entertainment, where, you know, the guys aren't being judged on their athleticism. They're being judged and the marketing money is being thrown at those who are entertaining. And, you know, that's, you know, I agree it sells tickets. And I just think that, you know, Dana White's talking about, you know, McGregor getting a shot at Khabib already. What has he proven? You know, he should be in the talk of, you know, who's fighting the loser of this fight. Work your way through that.
Well, the thing is, Anthony, it's because he makes so much money. It's because he makes them so much money. It's because he's such a big draw and he's so popular. People come up to me all the time and ask about Conor. Anytime he does something, SportsCenter wants to talk about Conor. And so you just can't deny that. And again, the precedent has been set. They let him do whatever he wanted just a couple of years ago. So now that toothpaste is out of the tube. You can't put that back in. He has set the ground rules. Now, in 5 years, things may change. But right now, they need him more than he needs them. Right now, in 2 years that may change, but right now, he is the one calling the shots. And if he says to them, I'm not coming back unless I get a shot at Khabib Nurmagomedov, you think they're saying no? They're not saying no. They're saying yes, because he brings them that much money. They got bills to pay. They got loans. They got interest. They got investors. They need him back, and they will listen to him. One more caller, Kevin in Alabama. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, Eric?
I'm doing great, Kevin. You're the last one. Make it good, Kevin. Make it good.
Hey, I'm going to try my best, man. I just got, I guess, one, maybe two questions. It's about Cejudo. Like, what would you think if possibly, you know, he wins tonight? Do you think he's going to continue at bantamweight, or do you think he's going to go down to defend at flyweight? And who would it be?
I think if he wins tonight, he'll go down to flyweight, and he'll fight the winner of Joseph Benavidez and Jussie Formiga, and then I think they might close it down. But I think the fact that they're keeping those guys around and they're having them fight makes me think that they'll give Cejudo, if he wins and if he loses, one more crack at that title. That's my gut feeling. What's the other
question?
That's
what I was thinking. Basically, like, what would you think, like, because we saw the Joseph Benavidez fight and Henry Cejudo fight the first time. Very close.
Yeah.
And people can arguably say that Cejudo won that fight. Like, that was probably the first fight where we saw his stand-up really improve, in my opinion. And, you know, Joseph Benavidez had that one step back to Sergio Pettis, but then he had those two great wins, and, hell, one win. He basically finished the guy twice.
Right. Well, Benavidez versus Cejudo was a great fight the first time around. I'd love to see it again. And I'd love to see Formiga versus Cejudo as well. And so that's why I say don't get rid of the division. We'll see what happens tonight, though. We are rapidly approaching the beginning of UFC 238. It starts at 6:15 p.m. Eastern. This has been great. Chicago, I love you all. Chicago, you guys are great. You're not that bad after all, Chicago. I hated you growing up, but I actually like you now. Thank you. Go Knicks! Yes, this has been great. The Helwani Show on ESPN Radio. And I want to remind you that baseball season is in full swing. Tune in today as Chris Bryant and the Cubs host the Cardinals. Coverage starts next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Thank you so much to all our callers. Thank you so much to all our listeners. Again, UFC 238. It starts in 20 minutes from now. Joanne Calderwood versus Caitlin Chookagian is the first fight of the night. This has been amazing. Thanks to all of you, Chicago. I appreciate you. Much love. Peace, I'm out of here. Thanks so much for listening to the Helwani Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.